Hi, welcome everyone. It is week two in Everyday Mindfulness, and this is Rebecca Schiffel Marshall. And here we are again to talk about how to bring mindfulness into your everyday life and how to make it really a part of your life. So I'm really excited about this week. Of course, I'm always really excited about mindfulness when I get an opportunity to talk about it. This week is called Come to Your Senses. This is the week about experiencing mindfulness from more than just the level of awareness of breath. So last week we talked about the awareness of breath and what things may come up like resistance. And this week I wanted to take it even further, because once we use that breath as an anchor, then we have the opportunity to expand that into other modalities. And this is where it gets for me, it can be kind of fun, because you can use any sense modality really to bring you back to the present moment, bring you back to the breath. So so that's what we're going to be talking about. That's what the videos are about this week, about sensing using visual, auditory, taste, sensation, tactile sensation, your own physical sensation, like sitting against the chair or the air against the skin. So let's begin by just using our time together to also practice coming back to the breath. So even if you haven't had a chance in between the first week and the second week to practice, here's your opportunity. So find a comfortable position, one where you are less likely to fall asleep. So perhaps sitting up. If sitting is uncomfortable, you can lean your back against the wall or stand. Or if you would like to lay down, you can lie down on the ground with your hand propped up so that if it falls, it'll touch you and wake you up. So find that position and begin by bringing your awareness to the breath. Just perhaps at those three spots that we talked about last week, the edge of the nostrils. And bring your attention to the coolness as you inhale, the warmth as you exhale. Just noticing if you can feel that at all. Maybe you notice that it's challenging to breathe through your nose, or maybe you notice that you haven't really been taking deep breaths all day. Or perhaps you want to bring your awareness of the breath at the chest as it rises and falls. Or as the belly expands and contracts. And what I'd like you to do is pick one of those that feels most comfortable for you. Awareness at the nose, at the chest, or the belly. And just practice bringing your attention back to the breath when your mind wanders. Notice that I said when, not if, because the mind always wanders. That's its job. Always seeking out pleasurable activities, safety. Danger. How to avoid danger. So that practice of bringing your attention over and over again back to the breath helps strengthen the muscle of awareness, of attention. So take another nice, long, deep inhalation. And as you slowly exhale, come back to being here on the call. So now that we're centered and mindful, we have this opportunity to take that a step further, to go from that awareness of the breath, even though it mixes in a little bit of the sensation as well, can take that even further. So the mindfulness in the senses just gives us an opportunity to see or hear or taste and bring our attention back to the present moment. So, for example, we'll talk about your homework at the end of the week, but your homework is to use a color. For instance, I think I suggest green. Use the color green to act as a trigger for yourself. So you see a color green and it's like, oh, right, I'm supposed to come back to the breath. So it could be a visual awareness. So it could be, what do I see? Oh, I see green. So I'm coming back to the green. Oh, I see green, but I'm hearing a song on the radio. Now I'm using that as a reminder. Or, you know, my lunch, it's spinach, it's green, and I'm going to use that as an awareness for the smell or the taste, the sensations that go along with lunch. And we'll go more into eating and mindfulness in the final week of the class. So through this awareness of these different senses that we have, we can tune our attention in to what is occurring in the present moment right now, what is here. So we can do that lots of different ways. Maybe it's that you see the color green and you say, what am I feeling right now? What are my emotions right now? How's my headache today? Well, where has that changed any? Because I just saw the color green, so I'm going to remind myself. Of course, we had already talked last week about using an alarm as well. You know, you could set, with smartphones the way they are, there are so many different things that you can do to remind yourself to come back to the present. You can have hourly reminders come up on your phone to help remind you to tune into the breath. So this awareness, this multimodal sense awareness can be used in everyday activities, right? It doesn't have to be just, oh, I see green. It could be as you're washing the dishes, for instance. You know, here you are at the sink. What's the sound of the water running? What's the feel of the soap on the dishes? What's the temperature of the water? What thoughts are arising about maybe not wanting to do the dishes or the other things that you have that you need to get done? So that level of awareness starts to allow us to apply this even more, because we can always use the breath. But if we're saying, okay, here I am doing the dishes, and I have this opportunity to come in awareness of my breath while I'm breathing, the feeling of the plate, the feeling of the water, the sounds of the water, the clinking of the dishes, the feeling of the bubbles, the thoughts that are coming up, and I start to begin to use something that Jon Kabat-Zinn refers to as choiceless awareness. So this opportunity where you're not necessarily saying, I'm only going to focus on my breath or I'm only going to focus on the bubbles, but full awareness of all the sensations. It's a much more broad way of attending to information, of paying attention in the moment to what's coming up. So as you can imagine then, this provides us with an amazing opportunity as we move through the day, right? This choiceless awareness. So you can use it while you're walking, you know, doing your exercise, walking, or while you're in conversation with someone, or while you're cleaning the house, or even while you're working. So this is, most of us work many more than 40 hours a week, and this opportunity to turn work into a meditation is actually quite informative and surprisingly calming, so that when you set the intention that work is a meditation, not that you necessarily have to go slow, it's just that you heighten your senses and become much more attentive and aware to what's happening. So let's take that example of what it might look like. And depending on your work, it will obviously look different ways. So for working, you know, for me, I usually go into my office. I'm working at a computer. I'm checking emails. I tend to have to do a lot of writing for my job with the university. So if I'm writing and I'm reading a lot of articles, or I'm preparing class, all of them I can use the breath awareness, right? Like just trying to stay as focused on my breath as I'm reading an article, focused on my breath as I'm reading the emails, as I'm deciding what goes into a lecture, as I'm grading papers. I'm aware of my breath. I may be aware of what's going on emotionally or my thoughts. Often if I'm changing the content within a course that I've taught before, I'll notice that the thoughts come up around, is this going to work? Is this not going to work? What will the students think of this? Is this too challenging for them? Is this too easy for them? How will I assess it later? So I can observe and become a witness to those thoughts as they come up. Maybe responding to them, maybe not, but just becoming, again, more aware of how I'm doing what I'm already doing within my life. So what I noticed when I started doing this is that if I stay anchored in the breath, there are many fewer thoughts to come up. If I stay anchored either in the breath or in the body sensations, those tend to be the ones that are the most valuable for me in terms of keeping my attention in the present moment. And I'll notice that fewer thoughts come up when I'm very aware of, like, oh, I'm noticing that my foot is tapping rapidly because I'm running out of time to prepare this lecture. Or, oh, I notice the thought, I'm running out of time. This, you know, I'm not going to finish all of this. And then I can come back to, oh, wait, but right now I'm breathing. How do I know I won't finish it? Why is that a problem if I don't finish it? What if we can't get through all this material today? So there are questions that I can even ask myself that can redirect my attention. So that mindfulness in the senses, those are some examples of how you can use it beyond just in the video. I sat and just had you practice just turning your awareness to all of those different senses. But this is the applied piece of how to bring those into your life. So, you know, think of something that you do on a regular basis. Again, you know, I think we use the example of brushing your teeth. That's a great example for breath awareness, but also for coming to your senses. You can hear the sound when you're brushing your teeth. You can feel what the toothpaste and the toothbrush feel like on your teeth. You can notice the thoughts in your head. So all of that is part of this coming to your senses, just taking it a step further. So what that leads to then is this possibility of, as we're watching the senses, as we're paying attention, then we have the opportunity to respond instead of react. And that's the other piece that I want you to observe this week, is how are you responding versus reacting? And on the website, in week two, I listed out an acronym to help you remember, the STOP acronym for reacting versus responding. STOP is S, right? Stop and take a breath. Take a deep breath. S is just stop. T is take a deep breath. O is observe. And P is proceed or park, right? So that's what we're doing over and over again. So going back to the example of me preparing class lecture material, or, you know, while I'm working, maybe I'm noticing that my foot is tapping, I'm getting anxious because I'm running out of time. So I am pausing, I'm stopping, take a deep breath, and I observe, oh, my foot's tapping. Oh, I'm feeling a little tightening in my chest, feeling a little anxious. Those are the emotions. So the thoughts are, what if I don't finish this in time? What if I missed something? And then at that point, maybe I need to pause and look even further, or maybe then I can simply proceed, like, okay, I've recalibrated. I can go back to preparing the lecture, or I can go back to washing the dishes, right? So that acronym of stop, take a breath, observe, and then you can determine proceed or park. That's the place that mindfulness allows us to respond instead of react. So I could go down the rabbit hole of, oh my goodness, I'm never going to get finished with this. I always get horrible evaluations. This is miserable, and the class is going to be, you know, it's just a waste. I could go down that rabbit hole with my thoughts. Or what mindfulness does is allows me that possibility to stop at the beginning, or stop somewhere in the cycle to take stock of what's happening. Oh, I'm feeling anxious. I wonder why I'm feeling anxious. Oh, this group of students is very knowledgeable. They have way more knowledge than other classes I've taught. So I'm worried about making sure they have enough. So looking at that, observing that, might say, oh, I see why I'm having that reaction. But instead, I can choose to respond from a different place, from a more mindful place, from a place of, I think this is what they need to learn at this time, a more mindful response instead of reacting to thoughts that may or may not be true. How do I know? How do I know that they have more knowledge? How do I know that what I'm teaching them won't be well received? How do I know that I won't get to class and they'll have lots of questions and that are exactly the ones that I have been preparing for this lecture? So that's that place of responding is how mindfulness can help, and how mindlessness gets us in trouble because we end up caught in many kind of possibilities or stories that may not even be true. So using this tool of mindfulness to help us respond can really change the trajectory of sometimes just our day, or sometimes really, you know, an entire you know, the trajectory along many multiple steps. Like maybe it's not just, oh, you know, this day I didn't react, but maybe it's that it changes things. Just a small little shift can make things more available to you in other ways. So when I stop at that point for that class, maybe then I go into class much more open to discussion with my students. And maybe we have a richer class time discussion than we would have if I had gone down that garden path trying to cram in a bunch of information. So that's one way that using that stop protocol can be really, really helpful in responding and can be really helpful in returning us back to mindfulness, returning us back to that choiceless awareness. So those are some ways, some of the things that we talked about in the videos, the experiencing the senses, the reacting versus responding. And please do refer to the video for how to do the sense awareness meditation, if you'd like to do it that way, how to bring it into your everyday life, for a little bit more on that. The other thing I wanted to cover today was something that had been that most people are kind of curious about at the very beginning. And we didn't cover this in the first week because I didn't want to emphasize a formal sitting meditation because I know the purpose of this class is to be in more of an everyday mindfulness. And I know that in the past, a lot of people just say, well, how do you start meditating if you want to? So I wanted to just talk a little bit about how you can bring about a formal sitting meditation practice in your life in a very non-threatening way. And I know I've mentioned that before. So one of the things that most teachers encourage is to find a place where you can sit in meditation. I know we talked about that last week, you know, whether that's in your bedroom or in the corner of a living room or outside on your deck, to have a place where it becomes a routine for you to sit if you do want to establish a formal or a regular meditation practice. And by formal, I just mean sitting in a chair or on a cushion, practicing breath awareness and mindfulness without doing some of the other everyday activities. So set up a time, now that you have a place, the other one is to set up a time where you're likely to meditate. This was trial and error for me for a long time and changed once other things in my life changed. So, for instance, I used to get up and meditate in the morning, which I thought was wonderful. I loved it. And then I had kids. And all that went out the window because they like to wake up early. And I never could seem to out-wake them up in the morning, that they were always up earlier than I was. So I switched my formal meditation practice to be at night. And I still will wake up in the morning early to meditate. If they're not awake yet, I will meditate as well, or I'll find other times to meditate during the day as well. So mine is my typical one that was in the evening. I have a corner in a room that I have a cushion that I sit on, a meditation cushion, a candle or a salt lamp that I light. And so I have an altar of things that are meaningful or sacred to me. You don't have to have that. That's just the way that I like to bring it in, just things to remind me of what is important to me. So sometimes it's a flower from outside or a feather or gemstones, some rocks, quartz, or certain images that remind me of our interconnectedness. So I like to sit in the evening, as I said, and I have kind of what one of my teachers referred to as a skeletal practice. So that practice is, at the very bare minimum, here's what I'm going to do to meditate, right? Like this, if everything just goes miserably throughout the day and I cannot do anything else, what's the bare minimum? So for me, 5 minutes of meditation is my bare minimum. Like, I'm going to do 5 minutes no matter what. Even if I'm sick, I do 5 minutes of meditation. If the kids are sick, I do 5 minutes of meditation. Now, I like to do longer if I can, and most days I'm doing longer than just the 5 minutes of meditation. But I would encourage you, as you're starting, to start very small. So again, that 1 minute of sitting, to make sure that you have that opportunity to not force yourself into something. Because even that, you know, 1 minute, we think, oh, 1 minute, I can do that. Think how long you spend on social media during the day. So could you carve out 1 minute of your social media time to sit and follow your breath or use choiceless awareness of your senses? Maybe, and maybe not for right now, or walking meditation. That's the one that we'll talk about next week. So sitting in meditation for 1 minute, and then the important piece is, this is more important than the meditation, is to watch how you don't do it, right? To observe, just notice like, oh yeah, I really want to sit for 1 minute, and then, oh, I forgot. There was this really great thing I was reading, and then it was too late, and I fell asleep. Or I ended up working late, and so I didn't have time for that. So those are some of the ways that we fool ourselves. And what's really important is just like, oh, that's one of the ways I talk myself out of it. Like for me, it's I'm too busy. That's the one that I usually use for talking myself out of things. And then when I hear, oh, I'm too busy, I go, aha, that's how I talk myself out of it. I'm going to actually meditate. So that's pretty much how, that's the whole process of it. And then you use the awareness of the breath or the sense awareness, or there are lots of other opportunities, but those are the ones that are really helpful in that place. Some of the problems that can come up can come up in the everyday mindfulness as well. So, again, that difficulty in concentration is very common in our culture. We're not really practiced at being able to pay attention for long periods of time. And this can be true while we're saying, I'm going to pay attention while I'm washing the dishes. I'm going to pay attention while I'm sweeping the floor, or while I'm driving to work. We get, you know, we're very intent. We get in the car. We're holding on to the steering wheel, and we're out of the driveway, and it's not 300 feet down the road, and we realize, oh, I forgot. I already am not paying attention to my breath. So that's a really common one. Or often people will complain that it produces agitation, that they get really agitated when they try to pay attention to the breath. This is also a very common occurrence. And we'll talk about some of the ways to deal with these problems in a moment. People will also complain, will not complain, but will also, one of the challenges is that they're trying too hard. I'm really going to focus my attention. And you can imagine like the white knuckles as they're washing the dishes and they're trying really hard. Mindfulness is more of an easy practice of awareness instead of clenching. But that's another one that tends to be really challenging, is that we try really hard. I also see, as we talked about, resistance. There's a lot of that comes up. And discouragement. People think that they're not doing it right, that there's something wrong with them, that it's too hard. There's that piece of discouragement that comes up as well. And then often, sometimes fear or pain. Those are the other two big ones, like pain in the body, physical pain or emotional pain will come up when we start being aware of what's going on with our emotional selves and our physical selves. And those are some of the big ones. Oh, and drowsiness. I don't know if I mentioned drowsiness, but that difficulty in, you know, we're a sleep-deprived culture. And so many people will complain of being drowsy, both while trying to pay attention or in sitting meditation. So how can you deal with these problems? Here are some tips and tricks for things that you can do to help you with some of these challenges. One of them is to take a very deep, strong breath, or actually I would say take three deep, strong breaths where you're really breathing in deeply. To do that three times, it helps stimulate the rest and digest the parasympathetic nervous system, helps calm the mind, and it helps bring the attention back. You know, often we'll have negative thoughts running through our head, and that can be a good one for coming back to the present moment. Another one is to use counting the breath. That's something that you can do if you're saying, I really want to pay attention while I'm sitting here on this cushion, or, you know, again, we'll go back to the washing the dishes. If you're having trouble paying attention to the awareness of, like, how do I feel while I'm washing the dishes? What if you count your breaths as you breathe in and breathe out? Breathing in one, breathing in two, breathing in three, breathing in four. And you can just simply say, you know, one. A Zen teacher that I work with encourages for all meditation in Zen, they tend to use that a lot. It's a very common practice to count from 1 to 10. And when you reach 10, you just start back at 1. And if you lose track of your attention, you just go back to 1, and it's no problem. And we always tease in that tradition that most of us spend a lot of our time at 1 or at 369 because we realize, oh, I've lost attention, and I just kept on counting, and I missed at 10 that I was supposed to go back to 1. You can also use something called canceling one thought with another. So if you notice during the day, I love this, in yoga it's called pratipakshabhavana, and it's replacing a positive thought with a negative thought, basically. So if you have something that you are ruminating about, something that's very negative thought or a worry that you have, is sending, like, for instance, if you had someone that was really upsetting you at work, someone that was bothering you, or a challenge that you were having with one of your coworkers, and you were having a hard time releasing that and just being attentive in the now, because that, if you're thinking about it, you're probably in past or in future, right? Because in the present, unless they're right there in front of you, it's not necessarily a present problem. So the way to replace that would be to send loving kindness, a loving kindness meditation to that person, and to imagine, in fact, I'm thinking, I'm going to add this as a video. I haven't added this yet, but I'll add this as a video, a loving kindness meditation video, so that you can practice that for yourself. And basically, all it is practicing sending compassion and kindness to everyone. You start with someone that you love dearly, someone that it's easy to send love and compassion to, then to yourself, and then to the person that's more neutral, because, right, it's getting increasingly harder, and then to the person that might be causing you more challenges. How can you send loving kindness to that person? And I use this often, and it's really quite amazing, the shift that can happen emotionally when sending that loving kindness, that canceling one thought with another. So those are some of the ways that you can deal with challenges that you have coming up against, either sitting in formal meditation or when practicing in everyday mindfulness. So maybe it's that you're sending loving kindness while you're dressing your children that have just yelled and screamed at you about what you made for dinner. And you're just practicing sending them that love and kindness and compassion as they're throwing peas across the room, for example. But those practices are ways to bring it into your daily life. So what I would like you to do this week, again, there's some homework in the shell, the class shell. The first one, to practice that sense awareness using the color green each time to bring your awareness back to your senses. And then to let me know how that goes. And you can use any color if you notice that I never really see green, but I see a lot of orange. That's fine. Whatever color is great. And then I also gave you extra credit to continue to try to find one time during the day that you can connect with your breath, whether you're sitting at your desk or you're sitting at that quiet spot for meditation, or if you set your alarm during the day where you might remind yourself to come back. Maybe it's right before you start cooking dinner, you're mindful, you take 3 deep breaths, and then you begin chopping the vegetables with mindfulness and awareness. And then to just, you know, maybe if you're having trouble, to go back and listen to this part about dealing with the problems, you know, using deep breaths or counting the breaths or canceling one thought with another, canceling a negative thought with a positive thought, that all of those could be practices that you could try for this week to increase your awareness. So I hope that is helpful. I look forward to hearing from you how it's going for you, how you're using everyday mindfulness in your life, and I look forward to speaking to you next week. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.